Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
Great morning. Huh? This is what great Thursdays feel like.
Thursday!
This is what they feel like, right here.
Yeah!
How was that? What up, y'all?
Good morning, fiancés.
Morning, fiancés. Morning.
Gonna try and turn it up. Gonna try and motivate. I can barely keep my eyes open right now. This week weaked.
the week really weaked.
The week weaked.
It's a lot of weaking.
Played directly in my face. Loudly. Forcefully.
Oh.
And, wow, I am tired.
Yeah, chill out week.
The exhaustion is real right now. But we're going to get it together.
We will.
That's the disclaimer of today.
That's what we do for y'all. We get it together. I don't know if y'all know this. We get it together for y'all.
I believe I had a stress-related 3-day migraine.
Yeah. You're still in that.
Oh, no, I'm definitely still in it.
Yeah.
But it really came to a head yesterday, and I could barely see.
You get those, what do they call, auras?
Indeed.
When you
flashing.
Guys,
lights. Right?
When you guys describe these things, I'm like, this sounds like sci-fi. What do you mean your body does this to you, to your own self, this attack?
You know,
it's like you're being attacked by one of the X-Men.
I agree.
What's going on?
One of the things that is most disappointing is when I watch a movie and someone's like, what's going on with my body? And then all of a sudden they're able to teleport or,
right.
You know, they have hands that heal the world or something.
Right.
And mine is just like, we're going to show you a bunch of colors that you can't see through, can't see past.
It's crazy.
Sometimes we'll make them flash for you because who doesn't want to party in their eyelids, you know? Close your eyes, disco. Studio 54.
Right.
And then nothing but pain. It does not manifest as something that I can then do anything with. It just steals your day. Put you in a bad mood.
You know what's really wild?
Makes you hurt.
And this is going to seem like an obvious rabbit hole that I would go down. But everyone bear with me. What if certain migraine symptoms were actually superpowers, but because they're not tested in the right environment, you don't know?
Right. We don't know how to use them.
Exactly. We need to get you in a danger room, bruh.
A who?
Oh, that's the training facility within the X-Mansion where the X-Men train.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it presents you with different situations. And then all of a sudden, that aura is like, wait a minute. Look what it's doing here.
The aura is actually like the conduit to... Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
So like... If I were able to get glasses like Cyclops.
Okay, now we're talking.
Maybe it could focus the power of the aura.
Right. And boom, you're opening dimensions.
And this, okay, so this is all I want to know, you know? Do put me in the danger room. What's it good for? There's got to be a thing that this does. Opens the door to another dimension. I am down for this.
Michelle says, Team Morgan mood this morning. We started asking, is it Friday or Monday? The weather has been very weird, though.
Yes.
Anyone been checking the barometric pressure?
Michelle, fiance, love of my life. My head has been checking the barometric pressure. Babe. It's doing it for us. It's been letting us know it's gonna, you know, My migraines are like your 98-year-old grandma's knees. It knows when it's going to rain. It feels it days before.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. No, not cool, man.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not waste anybody else's time with my woes.
I mean, you're part of a larger community.
And, hey, you know, thanks, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. These aren't just headaches. And loyal listeners have had me. First off, loyal listeners know how hard these hit you. They hit you so hard you can't make shows.
Debilitating.
Yeah. And I've come in here and I've had to do a show solo dolo.
Multiple.
Because you're in the middle of a neurological event.
The throes.
But here you are today. Huh?
Making it.
Brought the migraine with you.
Take your migraine to work day. I was telling yesterday. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I was telling yesterday.
You were telling yesterday about today.
Mm-hmm. I was telling Lily yesterday that now I forgot what I told her.
We got to get Lil's on the show.
We do.
Yeah.
No, I was telling her, like, I've got to get, you know, I got to get a job. And how? How do I do that? When what is predictable is I will be out
for sure
at least 2 days, likely more like 4 within the month.
Within a pay period.
I was trying to, you know, lead with, I guess, a lie. But yeah. And I, you know, was incredibly lucky to have my last direct boss also. I mean, not lucky that she experienced these as well, but someone who also suffers from migraines and is like, mine are nothing like yours. So I know if I'm having a hard time,
right,
you need to get out of my face.
Right.
And it would, there was no, you know, making me feel guilty or, which is a huge thing when you have something that afflicts you that no one can see.
Yeah.
Anyway, how am I going to do that? I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's a pretty good, awesome talent that you have, you know, being able to talk, trapped by yapping. So I think we just, you know, keep leaning into that, get you some speaking engagements.
Uh-huh. Well, we got a text here that says a little job called mayor of Portland.
Whoa.
Just saying, you have my vote.
Okay.
Well,
hey, Kenneth.
Someone does need to throw their hat in the ring. So,
Kenneth, that's a good call there.
I appreciate that big time. But yeah, what am I going to do? I'm a little concerned about that. But, you know, we can move forward. That's also not what we use the beginning of our show for.
Well, P-Town said, fabulous rising fiancés.
Good morning.
It was said that migraines can be spiritual people trying to talk with you. Also, okay. I drink water. That helps me.
P-Town, also, do I need to go to the danger room for this as well? Like,
right.
Because I would like it to be this as well.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. How do we make sure that it's the spirits that we don't, you know, want to talk to us actually, like, leave later?
And here's the thing.
You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, right? Immediately people are like, yeah, it could be a malevolent spirit. We don't want to deal with that. What if it's just an annoying one?
Oh, my God. A pixie, if you will. Just a menace. That'd be so mean. Let's, like, not do that. Let it not be that.
Yeah.
Or let it, I guess. I don't know.
Just like a spirit with, like, really terrible opinions that wants to tell you what's on their mind all the time about everything you're doing. And is also a Trump supporter. And it's like, bro, really? And then you're arguing with this person that no one else can hear. And they're just saying the wildest stuff to you.
Such a great description is where I was going, but again, I've got to read this to you, Ambush. This one says, good morning, I'm here. You can start the show now. XOXO, Harper's best half.
Rudo, we'll start the show when Harper gets here. Thank you very much.
That's exactly correct.
Harper's best hat. How do you not get tired of yourself, sir? Dude, that's amazing.
Also, good morning, Harper.
Whoa, Crystal just gave you your X-Men name.
What? Oh, what? Please,
Dr. Morgan, Dr. Morgan X. Is that the t-shirt?
Okay.
Is it you doing this?
Oh my gosh. My two fingers to my temple right now. Crystal, I don't think you know what you started. I mean, that might make it all worth it. You know? That might make it all worth it.
Oh gosh. P-Town said, okay, maybe Morgan's migraine wants to be mayor.
My migraine is the malevolent spirit that wants to be the mayor of Portland. There. Yes. Oh, God. We cracked the code this morning. Boom. And thankfully, because Rudo's here, we can, in fact, start the show.
I am laughing entirely too much before 8 o'clock.
That,
wow.
That is a thing right there.
Thank you, community.
Bruh.
Oh, goodness.
Now my migraine wants to be mayor. That is hilarious.
Morning, Kyle and the doc. Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, good morning, Kyle. I miss you.
Oh, man.
It's been so long.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay. Yes. Ambush.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, we're shaking things off. I want to remind everybody that the other part of huge news within, you know, the last couple of weeks has been the rap beef of, I don't know, this decade.
I'd say so.
One, Kendrick Lamar actually took a moment.
He took way too long for me.
He definitely took too long for many of people, but when he gave you 6 minutes and 24 seconds of what he did you feel like worth the wait? Or what was the, it used to be like trash or pass? Trash or pass. Right.
You know what? Thank you for mentioning, for framing it that way, because that does explain how I felt about it, honestly. Like, when you take this long, you can't come back with a 3-minute track.
Nah.
You know? You gave me 3 different beats, 6 minutes and 40 seconds, cooked some chicken.
17 different flows.
I mean. So, yeah, if you have people waiting this long for something that you initiated, it's in good faith. It's in good form, rather, to give us something meaty. That was almost 7 minutes.
It was. And we're not going to do this right now. We're going to do a views, I think, where we can curse about it.
If you guys haven't been checking us out, understandably so. We also have another podcast called, we mentioned the beginning, but we just zoomed through. I don't think people realize. There's an actual podcast called Views with My Fiance. And
do we get to call it a podcast right now? I feel like
it's only got 2 episodes.
We have 2 episodes. You know,
listen, that first episode got like 7,000 like listens
real quick.
Really quick.
Yeah.
We're talking about Joe Rogan.
Well, you know, when you talk about the JRE.
It zoomed.
Yeah.
Harper said, I was here before he was. Hugs and kisses. Definitely Rudo's best half.
Morgan. Good morning, Harper.
Also, Morgan's migraine for me. I think we just get buttons and stickers done.
It's okay, can we just go heavy on the alliteration and just be like,
for mayor.
Morgan's migraine beats maps for mayor.
I love it.
Mingus can't touch Morgan's migraine for mayor. You know, something like this.
Yo. Crystal dropping bars. Gonna go hard on a migraine. Gonna make it look sexy. I'm done. I can't do this show today. Do y'all want news for us or what? What's happening?
Make it look sexy. Crystal?
Guys, get it together. We're gonna get in trouble for the teacher comes back in the classroom.
Double high five down. Right there. That was...
Oh my God.
You read it in the cadence. Beautiful work there. Beautiful work.
Choice work. Chef's kiss. But yeah, I think we should, yeah. Check us out. Views. We got that.
We're going to talk about that. I had a point and now I don't remember.
Kate Bizzle, you know.
What that was going to be that we will get into it more. But oh, yes, I remember now. One of the things I appreciate the most about any sort of beef or battle is when we become the pettiest of petty labels.
Oh, yeah. Live for the petty.
I live for the, we are in, I'm going to give you so many different little things that you're going to have to take a few days to recognize how many times I hit you in the face.
Right.
One of those things for the track Euphoria, named Euphoria, for I'd say multiple reasons, but one of which being that Drake executive produces that show on HBO, starts with a backwards
sample.
Thank you. That sample played forward is Richard Pryor from The Wiz saying, I'm a fake, I'm a phone. It's true. I'm a fake, I'm a phone. Oh, wait. It's like, it's true. Everything they say about me is true. I'm a phony, I'm a fake. Something like that.
Yeah.
That alone, yeah. Absolutely chef's kiss. But add to it that one, Drake has been, you know, referencing himself to one Michael Jackson and as an MJ in every way.
Hey, hey.
We will not allow it.
Yeah. Slow down.
I mean,
Grandma, you ain't gonna know Michael Jackson.
Comparing yourself to Michael Jackson is a wild thing to do, you know, but for a lot of reasons. We could, you know, you could do, it's just crazy to do that musically or artistically, or the fact that, you know, certain things he was known for.
It's the single thing. The single thing I agree with Chris Brown on. Don't compare yourself to Michael Jackson.
I was like, what'd Chris Brown say?
He was like, please don't.
Please stop saying that about me.
I will never out in my life of lives. Thank you for appreciating my talent, but that's Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
One thing you got right.
So that particular sample. Michael Jackson is in The Wiz. If anyone's like, what would that have anything to do with? And he's the scarecrow in The Wiz. He ain't got no brain.
Right.
You know? There's just a lot of things that you could infer.
Man. With that.
And I was pleased as punch, as they say. Pleased as punch.
Yeah.
I am really excited by this particular rap battle. It's like as if like Big Sean were doing something. It's like, oof. I just want to hear what you're going to say.
Yeah. It's the battle the culture deserves. Honestly, it really is.
Man.
Yeah.
During the battle the culture deserves, imagine being told you are not a part of the culture. Yikes.
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 Yeah.
Who knows?
Mortgages.
I'm sorry. Rick Ross has been funny this entire time.
There's so many different pieces to it to be discussed. I'm looking forward to doing that Views episode because then I can talk some Kanye slander. So that's good.
Oh, man. Kanye, what are you doing?
I just love it. It's pastime of mine.
He's got to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho. All right. Ambush.
Yeah.
We did a lot of chat.
We got something else in the top.
I was going to say there's. Yeah. But before we move forward on what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we
discuss what's a priority? What has been a priority, you know, for Congress?
Did you have a? Is there a thing to play about this?
No, not for this one. No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Laying in bed last night. Is that what happened?
I think so.
And we saw a House bill being passed.
Right.
Called the Anti-Semitic Awareness Act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of priorities right now.
There's so much going on.
There's a lot going on. I think we're on over 40,000 people slaughtered in Gaza. I don't know what day we're on of this.
Yeah, we're past 200.
Violent occupation and genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, you know, there are people that are locally mad that, you know, certain city council people running for local elected positions are, there are folks that are upset that they are prioritizing calling for a ceasefire or mentioning that, you know, genocide bad. They're peeved. They're like, how dare you take up our time to talk about that thing happening over there?
Right.
But somehow we've got all the time in the world to talk about and to redefine what anti-Semitism means in order to criminalize, in order to ramp up any charge of a protest to, you know, potential hate crime.
Right.
While calling for the end of a genocide. And we have talked about this before, but you're giving up the game when you equate the two.
Right.
You are giving up the game when you say calling for the end of violent colonial genocide is actually just anti-Semitism that makes, you know, Jewish folks feel unsafe.
While members of the Jewish community, large swaths of the Jewish community, are protesting.
One of my favorite things is how many young Jewish folks on campuses are helping lead these protests, are helping create encampments. Because they're like, not in my name will you do that.
Right.
Not in my name will you say we have to do this.
Right.
Not in my name does BB get to say, actually, I'm not gonna agree to any sort of ceasefire, no kind of pause. I actually don't care about any of those hostages.
Yeah.
We're almost to the finish line, guys. We see the end and we're just gonna keep it popping.
Guys, understand that I was yesterday finding out. I know there were offers to release hostages in different, you know, different forms and different measurements as negotiating tactic throughout this entire situation. I was unaware, though, that Netanyahu was actually presented with an offer to release all of the hostages, like not just the women, not just the children, not just the elderly, all of the hostages in exchange for a 5-day ceasefire. And he said no. Here's the thing. He said no because we're so close to victory.
Yeah.
Which again, you know, so close, you know what that means.
Victory!
Here's the thing. He could have said, you know what? You know what, Hamas, I like that. I like that. You're going to give us all the hostages for a 5-day ceasefire? Cool. Let's do it. And then 2 days into the ceasefire, changed his mind. In an effort just to get the hostages back. There are just so many ways
that could happen.
But he said flat out, no. And for anyone that doesn't know, citizens of Israel have been protesting outside.
Oh, yeah.
With his home and office?
Oh, yeah.
Bring home our people. But, and he's like, I'm good, though.
He's like, oh, yeah. I mean, please continue to be mad at Hamas.
You guys are missing the greater mission here, which is genocide. Extinction. You know?
Land grab.
Yeah. I
hear Don't what you're you saying, guys but... want the waterfront property?
Yeah.
Just like, chill.
Chill out. I got you. Yeah. Okay.
I'm about to make you. Your life real sexy, as they say. Just wait.
Just you wait.
Can I read this real quick?
Yeah.
Got a text that said, Views with my fiance had the most comprehensive breakdown of the Will Smith slap out there.
Woo!
You two were the only ones making sense. Underrated episode.
Wow.
Thank you for listening to News with My Fiance. We don't have any more things to talk about. You got to end on a high note. That's what my daddy taught me. We won. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Property's a policy choice. Bye.
Yo, the Will Smith, man.
Someone actually texted me about the Will Smith slap episode, and they were like, thank you so much for that perspective. I really appreciate you and Morgan's commentary on that. I just didn't see it from that angle.
Mm.
And that meant a lot too, because yeah. I felt like we were in the minority for a long
it
for a while.
It certainly felt crazy making.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But definitely appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. So today we got a what?
Pete Towns sent some photos, which is going to be about what we're going to be covering.
Move right. Yeah. Okay.
This is what I'm talking about.
I love it. Was it last when? Old girl said there's a whole bunch of, or we, wait, is that the story? Let's not do that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My bad. All right. Well, I'll say what we're going to talk about today.
Right.
Local news, pro-Palestine protests at PSU Solidarity have presented PPB with the burning question of whether or not they get to use all of their tear gas
or
just a little bit.
Just a
touch.
Just teats.
Also, tonight, there is the district attorney debate.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That is tonight. Tonight.
Thursday.
How did I not just jump in?
Well, that's why we are a team.
It is. It is.
The things have been heating up. It's getting closer to the time, the primary.
Yeah.
And things are heating up. The ads are interesting.
Yeah.
What ads aren't actually interesting, though, and I'm just going to say this. Oh, wait. I don't know. Yeah, I think I can say
this. Yeah, you definitely can.
And because I'm not saying who to vote for. I'm saying every single ad I have seen from Nathan Vasquez is the most boring. Like, toothpicks in my eyes to keep them open, because what are you talking about? It's amazing to me that we are doing this loop, where we're just repeating other things happening in other cities and then pretending that it's unique to here. And, I cannot believe that we are still in that loop.
Right. How are we still
there? But man, they're just throwing stuff out there that doesn't even make sense. It's like, where do you live?
Right.
Who are you talking about? Where are the things? And I don't want to see, people respond to nonsense. This is a thing that I had to learn a long time ago and not saying that I've learned every lesson and that I don't still engage with people who are clearly in bad faith.
Right.
But there is a point when you have to be like, I'm actually not responding to the thing you just made up.
Because you just made it up.
And so me responding to it seems like it gives it some sort of credibility.
Exactly.
And also in me responding to it, the people who want to believe the thing you just said don't care that I have facts to refute your feelings.
Right.
Or whatever, It doesn't matter. That's not what they're here for. They are here for some confirmation bias. And so going against that, not going to do it. Not going to cut it. So it becomes very pointless very quickly. I don't want to see candidates doing and this person said this about my campaign. That is just they made it up.
Right. Completely.
Just say there's too many things that are made up. I'm not giving it credence. I'm not dealing with this. There are way bigger more pressing, more important, more emergent things to talk about and to act on than people, you know, like that create false stories and then include the police and then don't get in trouble for creating false reports.
Are you referring to that one video of that woman standing in the middle of a protest circle saying, I am surrounded. They're surrounding me.
They are surrounding me. They are threatening me.
I love the tactic that they use.
Oh, it was so good.
They're just talking over.
They're just saying, this person is free to move. This person is not being harmed. This person is not in harm's way. This person is free to move. This person is not surrounded. It's amazing to watch people say things like, I'm being attacked. I'm being surrounded. When you see nothing but space and opportunity for them to turn around and walk away. They could walk away backwards if they wanted to, if they were scared of the people that are in front of them. They could walk away backwards.
Ma'am, you're watching people film you on their phones. You're watching people film bewildered you live. And you're still pressing forward.
Just like, well, I'm here now.
And again, that is a result of there not being consequences for that type of
false
reporting.
The ability to just double down on the this thing that isn't happening is happening. And I mean this so sincerely for the people who it actually is true to. So, you know, not all white people.
Right.
But the ability to do the I am dead wrong. And I've never been wrong ever once in my life. All at the same time, in your face, in 4K.
Right. 1080p.
Is honestly astounding.
Yeah.
It's like, it's got to be, you know, partially a tactic just to throw people off their feet. Because there's a moment where it's just like, hold on, are we actually doing the same reality right now? Right. Or when you open your eyes, do you see something different?
Right.
I'm sorry, Ambush. I took us on a ride there. We were just supposed to be saying what we're talking about today.
It's fine. So, I can jump in.
Yeah, please.
National news. You know, Trump gets a slap on the wrist. You know, I'm curious. He's got till Friday to pay that $9,000. And for someone who is pretty much like the Birdman of real estate, don't pay nobody for nothing. It's going to be great to see him at least pay, you know, $9K. And then,
shout out to baby.
And then something I'm really excited to talk about. Pretendians. Race faking is all the rage in Vermont. Pretendians. We put a post up yesterday. Just
letting you know what we'll talk about today.
Advertise some of the things we'll be talking about today. And I got to tell you, got some pretty good engagement on there. Got
definitely.
Some shares. You know what I'm saying?
The homie Nate said, are pretendians the same as Trustafarians?
Right.
And I'm going to say close.
Yeah. You're on the right path there.
On the right path, but no. You know, at least my understanding of a true Trustafarian is, you know, one living out their dreams loudly on the backs of their ancestors.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about the work.
At all. At all.
So they can do the ganja, you know, and kick around a hacky sack.
Got that privilege in pocket.
Yeah. But a pretendian is looking to, you know, gather some things. Maybe an award, maybe a scholarship, maybe get themselves a little piece of land.
The madness. The madness. P-Town, thanks for those photos straight from the protests. In the library down at PSU. The boots on the ground. That's what we're talking about.
That's what we checked about. Boots on the ground reporting. We got a text that said, we won. Bye. Can also double as Morgan's campaign victory speech. And that's it. That is definitely my victory speech right there. That's all I got.
All right. We're going to hop into a music break.
Let's do
and
it.
Then we're going to come back with, I mean, you guys finally let us get to the news. all these amazing jokes from our community, from our fiancés. We're actually going to get to the news right after this break. Good morning. Welcome back to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones.
I don't even remember why, but in the moment that we went to the music break, I had a thought, and it was, man, we have a neighbor that speaks solely in office jargon. And by that, I mean office small talk, like the person who's friendly, but you have no idea, you know, what that person really likes or does or whatever. And it's like, hey, how's it going? Have a great day. Good to see ya. And then, you know, inevitably every Wednesday, it's going to be like, almost there.
We're almost there.
We're getting there. It's almost Friday. It's finally Friday.
Yeah.
Oh boy, someone's got a case of the Mondays. It's all that all the time. Man, can you believe it rained? I feel like at some point we got to be able to move forward from, because one thing is we don't work together.
No.
We don't have to do that.
No. You know.
Do you guys have neighbors that just do the office small talk?
Do you guys have fiancés that do it? Because. Ooh. I'm going to raise my hand. It's definitely I do that. My office, as you're saying.
I'm like, you don't talk to me like that. Okay.
As you're saying, those are my defaults. Like, and it's I will say it's like.
But do you do it in a work setting or that's you all the is what you're saying?
That's what's so weird about it, right? I haven't been in like a conventional 9-to-5 in a while.
Right.
And you see me do it like a lot, like, hey, how you doing? And I'm just responding with something. It's just like, and it's just like, that does not apply at all. And it's all like default office talk, because in those office settings for me, I felt like I was forced to engage when I really didn't want to. So right. I had those five phrases that I use all the time and that'll help me get through the hallway. So if I see you on a Wednesday, it's like, hey, we almost did it.
Yeah,
two more days. I can beat you to whatever you want to say, hit you with that two more days, and whew, get to my office and, you know, put on some, some Track Walk West. It's like, you know, on my YouTubes, you know, I still find myself doing it.
I think the words for this is social anxiety.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, like you do not want to have.
Guys, if you ever, fiancés, I'm burying my soul. If you ever walk up on me and I'm in the middle of a sports conversation,
help!
Understand, I am lying.
Oh, wow. That is not where I thought this was going. It's true, but
especially if we're talking about
vulnerability was going to go.
Current sports, I know absolutely nothing.
Zero.
But because of my stature, people engage me in conversations about football and basketball a lot. Oh, you know, you remind me of, what do you think our chances are this year? All the time. All the time.
Chances for. Which sports ball is this again?
What are we doing here? I do not watch sports. I don't. If I'm in the company of some of my homies and they got a game on, sure.
You don't even really watch it.
I might pick a team in that moment. Where's the room going? You guys You guys leading the Sixers or Knicks?
I'll be sheeple for 1,000, right. Alex. I have no clue and I don't care.
Now, there have been loyalties throughout the year.
Sure.
You know, you live in Philly, you're a Sixers fan. You live in Philly, you're a Iverson fan. You live in Philly, you're actually a Jordan fan. It didn't matter. Like, these were eras for me.
Yeah,
Jordan, my favorite player. Iverson, my favorite player. You know, like, there was things like that. You know, there's players that were interesting to watch. Once I actually stopped participating in sports, I couldn't care less. But yeah, if you ever walk up with a conversation, I'm like, I think, you know, they got some pretty good playoff chances. It's a lie. I have no idea.
The funniest thing to me is that you go that route, that you would be like, I'm just going to dig into, man, their chances are looking pretty good, instead of like just flatly saying, I haven't seen anything this year. It's been a year.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Sometimes I do say, you know what? I don't really follow sports.
I've missed it.
Yeah. Once they start naming players and like stats.
They're like, oh crap, did the draft just happen? I've never heard of this person.
Oh, okay. So I don't really watch sports, guys.
Does that person date so-and-so? Ambush, can I read a text real quick before we move forward? The lady being ignored, crying crocodile tears, and pretending they were being threatened at the protest is directly indicative of how Zionists have claimed to be threatened by Palestinian autonomy, yet directly being the aggressors.
Man.
If there were, we got to get it. I mean, I need a soundboard for real.
Yeah. Hit the applause button for that.
The applause, the, you need an acceptance speech.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah, that is it.
That's it. We just keep seeing that, you know, embodiment of that particular, I don't know, fallacy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
live and direct.
It says sweep is happening now at PSU.
Yeah,
we saw the police moving in this morning. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, P-Town.
Thank you, P-Town. Saw them moving in this morning on, you know, we're, I don't know, take back the night. What are we? Okay, I guess we need to jump into that story. Just get into that story. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Scrolling. Portland State University closes. Demonstrators take over the school library. Tensions escalated at PSU. As university leaders and city officials issued a stern ultimatum to protesters who occupied the Branford Price Miller Library on Monday night, vacate the premises or face potential criminal charges. The university closed its campus on Tuesday, and discussions among top leaders continued throughout the day to determine the next course of action. The occupation of the library followed days of smaller anti-war demonstrations on campus, linked to nationwide protests against the conflict in Gaza. Barricades, signs, and declarations of a liberated zone adorned the library entrance, a symbolic gesture of protest by pro-Palestinian rights demonstrators. PSU President Ann Cudd issued a plea to demonstrators to leave the building voluntarily before law enforcement intervention became necessary. The message was reinforced by Mayor Ted Wheeler, Police Chief Bob Day, and Multnomah County District Attorney Mike Schmidt, who emphasized that the criminal acts would not be tolerated under the guise of peaceful protest. Schmidt stated that his office would pursue prosecution against those arrested for the occupation, with potential charges including burglary and felony criminal mischief. Despite the calls for voluntary evacuation, a concrete timeline for law enforcement action remained unclear. It's clear now. PSU's board chair, Ben Berry, emphasized the deadline had passed for occupiers to vacate the building peacefully. While understanding the motivations behind civil disobedience, Berry underscored the importance of respecting property and ensuring the safety of all individuals involved. Protest, but not like that. Mm. Outside the library, demonstrators continued to express their solidarity with anti-war sentiments adorned with slogans and statements advocating for peace. Supportive community members dropped off essential supplies for those inside, highlighting the grassroots nature of the protest movement. The demonstrators at PSU was one of the longest Portland has witnessed since the city's racial justice protest garnered national attention in recent years. Similar encampments have emerged at other Northwest universities, echoing calls for divestment from Israel and weapons manufacturers involved in the conflict. As the situation unfolds, city officials are expected to draw upon lessons learned from past protests to guide their response. With most members of the Portland City Council currently in Washington, D.C. for legislative meetings, the ongoing protest remains a focal point of concern and discussion. And the update being that they're doing the sweep. They have entered the building. Police are like, it's go time. Tear gas away.
Let's be the military.
Let's be them.
We are, you know, I know for folks that lived through the anti-war movement have to just, no, let me take back how I started that. Because I don't know anything.
Right.
About how people must feel. But they're definitely, I am curious. I am incredibly curious how people who lived that moment and who aligned with an anti-war stance. I am very curious how we're looking at today, because there's a lot of folks that are loud about how, you know, uncivilized our society has become, right, and how dangerous it is to dissent from the, you know, radical Marxist government that we live under. Like, I want to know, like, what's happening? Because it really feels like, and I think this is true for, you know, maybe generally, that we could put folks in certain buckets. You know, there's the folks that have just slid to the left the more years they live. They just keep on sliding to the left.
Keep on sliding.
You know, keep on seeing the inequalities and the oppression and say, that seems like it's been going on for too long. I think there's something we could do about it.
Right.
And then there's the people that just get apathetic, who go, hey, man, I got a mortgage I got to pay attention to. I got kids. Can't be worried about what's going on out there. You know, that's in a different country or something. I don't, it's just all very much a, I'm busy, I think.
I saw a post this morning that was like, in Korea, North Korea, on the rooftops of certain, wherever college they name, snipers are taking positions to handle unarmed protesters. Oh, wait, that's in America. And it was just like, it was like five slides, name a different, in Iran. Da, da, da. Oh, no, wait, that's in America.
You know, it's not looking good for the, what we do is spread democracy to the world.
Right.
Camp. It's, right, it's not looking good for Team America right now.
America.
But then there's the other groups, you know, so we've got the people that are like, hey, we should be doing more anti-war things or more things to level out the inequalities. There are the people that get incredibly apathetic. And then there are the folks that are like, not on my lawn.
Not on my lawn at all.
No. Not on my lawn. I watched multiple incredibly violent videos just this morning of people I guess pro-Zionist, or yeah. I'm not even sure what these people's point is, honestly. Some of these folks are just there to do destruction. And so there's this, you know, group of people that showed up to break down these encampments on several different campuses. Yeah.
Peaceful protests.
These are just people there. And this is also indicative of how folks treat houseless people. Yep. But, you know, they ain't ready to talk about that.
No.
But going up to any group that is literally, you can't even see the people. They are barricaded, you know? And you're going and violently trying to rip these things apart as a citizen.
Yeah.
Not as a, like, we have really, really, the propaganda has ruined us.
So much rage. Like, to see the, and I know exactly what videos you're talking about. Like, there's these large 8x4 pieces of wood,
plywood
that are up there forming a wall, and they're just running up, screaming, yanking it.
They're running and jumping on it.
Like,
they're,
what are you doing?
Bouncing their bodies off of it so that they can try and break it or knock somebody in the head with it.
Right.
Like,
you want to
violently trying to pull the barricades and things. Here's the thing. You are escalating what is a peaceful protest that you find distasteful.
Walk away from it.
You don't have to be there.
Yeah, you literally drove down to this protest.
You would not be downtown or at any of these campuses at 2 a.m. on any given day. Not on a party day would you be doing that, 47-year-old.
Right.
32-year-old who never has been on a college campus ever before in your life. But someone, we got to do an inbred insurrection somewhere.
Right.
We got to show our strength and our force. We won't stand for it. What are you not standing for? You're literally standing. You're saying, I won't stand for you resisting occupation. I won't stand you resisting mass murder and genocide? I won't stand for that.
I have a tactic that I've employed in my life for decades now. So, hearkening back to living in Chester, Pennsylvania, a suburb right outside of Philadelphia, that was surrounded, it's a city, very small city, surrounded by some very racist counties and municipalities. And the main street through Chester, one of the main streets, Avenue of the States or Edgemont Avenue, the KKK used to protest. They would walk through, they would march through Brookhaven, Parkside, and as soon as they got to the Chester city line, that's when they would turn around and go back. But understand, like, they were, this Chester city line on that side of the city was at Chester Park. So they would come down to Chester Park, gather, and then walk back. And people, like, over the years, just like, we got to go out there, we got to meet him. And I remember feeling the exact same way with some of the protests here. Why? You have a viewpoint I do not agree with. I vehemently disagree with your viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to now go down and give you a crowd to react to? Why do we as a crowd need to come down and now your march actually means something? I'm going to leave you out there by yourself with you and your folk. And then you guys had a no press, because like,
right,
eventually they just stopped doing it. It was like, what are you doing this for? Like, ignore them. And I'm not saying that's fit for every situation, but in a situation like this, there is a peaceful protest. It's not like these students are coming to your doorstep. They're not marching through your streets. They're on campus having a peaceful protest, sitting down, singing songs with each other, chanting, and then you have to get in your vehicle, rally up, send a couple text messages. We're going to go down and do what? If you disagree with them, cool. But now, because you're in disagreement with them, they can't sit still on a park lawn.
And that's one of the things that I absolutely cannot understand is the ramp up. Like, it's, I'm all for peaceful protests and first, you know, free speech, First Amendment, all that, but not like this. And it's right. Not like this every single time. It doesn't matter if it's a sign. It doesn't matter if it's a disrupting traffic. It doesn't matter if it is quietly sitting in the park and making zero noise, but there's a tent. So there must be, you know, according to PPB, tens of thousands of dollars of damage.
Right.
Being done right. In that very second and moment, because tents were erected or ropes were used for something. Like, I don't understand we're gonna take this peaceful protest, escalate it to actual major violence, and then still blame the people that were peacefully protesting.
Right.
And I'm gonna continue to ask this question. How do you fit your mouth to say there should be a peaceful protest in response to the most violent, most brutal, barbaric treatment of people? How are we supposed to do that? How dare you expect peace and quiet and calm in the face of occupation?
Right.
In the face of not being in control of your own lives in every way. How dare you call for peaceful anything? How dare you be more upset by whatever your Antifa thug that you can't believe doesn't like fascism?
Yeah.
How dare you be more upset with that person than the genocidal government? I mean, I really want you to think it through. You've got nothing you're upset about. The fact that the money that you want to be used for the potholes and the road, because you don't think we deserve healthcare,
right.
But like, at least fill a pothole, that money goes away to fund this genocide. And you're like, well, yeah, because it has to. And I don't really like it either. And I think that I'm sure there's a solution out there. It's just so completely complicated. I can't wrap my tiny brain around it. But what I definitely know is it should be peaceful. What I definitely know is the way that you go about creating changing this world is by sending letters to the people that are hitting you with actual missiles, with bunker busting bombs. Send them a letter.
Yeah.
Tell your congressman.
Yeah. Could one of the fiancés do a quick Googles for me? And can you find out how much Oregon is sending to Israel? I don't want to misquote. I believe we were like the third, like either third or fourth highest state send them, but the amount of money that we send to Israel.
That's tight.
Could somebody double check that?
Can I?
I was going to say, P-Town said, I hope the media is down there filming the police. And I'm so glad she mentioned the media. So glad they mentioned the media. Because I wanted to play this segment, a portion of this segment that Morgan and I heard last night on Coin 6.
Oh, Jeff Gianola.
And Elise Haas was down there on the scene. Let's see if this comes through, right?
70% students, and then some of them, we'll pull that were back a little bit. Faculty, staff. Yesterday, it was mainly students, 70% students, and then some of them, were faculty, staff, sympathizers, those sorts of things. But today, it is like 90% of the folks out here are non-students, all dressed in black, very different vibe. So we haven't gone closer because, like you saw in my story, there were people who tried filming and getting closer to Seymour, and they're getting assaulted. So we're keeping our distance because tensions are running high, and it is a much more hostile group out here tonight.
This.
So
I have things to say. No, you go first.
So this is your news. This is your news media reporting live from the scene, telling us that these people dressed in black, 90% of them aren't students.
Can we take just one step back?
Because sure.
It's interesting to watch the local media do a lot of getting to the bottom of it and asking a bunch of questions like, are these actually even students out there? Or are these outside agitators? Are these even the people? Are these the youths? Could the youths be this misled?
I'd have less alarm bells going off if I didn't hear Eric Adams saying the exact same thing in New York about students at Columbia.
The way that the conservative talking points and the propagandic talking points and the American imperialism talking points go out to the same inboxes at the same time every day, and they are starting their mornings with complete and total indoctrination of falsehoods, lies, fabrications. It's astounding to me. So we're able to get those questions right now.
Right.
Right. And then we have the news reporting that 70% of people out there yesterday were students. Today it's 90 or this evening, last night, 90% non-students who are all dressed in black, who are hostile to anyone else. And that's why we haven't gone over there. I want to know how you know who these people are if you haven't been able to walk across the park block to know who they are because too scary because dressed in all black.
Right.
Like the Omen.
Right. Like really, really understand how dangerous that is. Like really understand how dangerous that is, guys. You're making, again, reporting the news. People go to you for data and information. And Elise Haas made a broad sweeping statement like that, 90% with no way to quantify that. None. You don't know if students went home and dressed in black and came back. Also, throughout just not that coverage, but several pieces, is always dressed in black, dressed in black, dressed in black. Just say Antifa. You're not low. We know what you're saying.
Absolutely. And this is PSU. Let us not pretend that this is the, University of Oregon campus where most of the you would sort of be like, whoa, why are there more older people here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I might even be wrong about that for U of O at this point. But I know when I was at PSU, it wasn't nothing but every single age bracket out there. I felt like I was just, I don't even know. It did not feel like a college campus. It felt like I was hanging around with like everyone in my class was much older than me.
Right.
So the idea that a commuter school, a school in downtown, in an urban setting that has so many different age brackets of people going to that school, that you could be like, these are 90% non-students without any sort of understanding of who those people are.
Right.
And to immediately tell us that you haven't even gotten close enough because scared is wild.
Oh, so scared. Those scary people all dressed in black.
And to be able to have these questions, excuse me, when those questions, like, I just, you know, absolutely, I'm old enough to remember that during the racial uprising, you know, 2020 protests, there were lots of outside agitators. There yeah. were very visible, very open, plain. Look at this. This is obviously not a person who is here trying to, you know, fight for equality, to stop police brutality. Open, blatant. And it wasn't, hey, I wonder if there are any outside agitators. The right. news was actively saying that there aren't outside agitators, that they were, you know, refuting the claims right. of outside agitators. When people within a movement, like, if you don't understand the movements, it you tell us by who you believe is involved and what those actions, the actions that they do that are involved. If you think people who are actively calling for the end of police brutality are going out there and fighting the like being violent with the people who have already been impacted by the violence of the police, be for real. It's literally not what they're there for.
Right.
It's not what they're there for. And it's amazing to me that those things do not get called violent. We are not, like, we're not seeing the phrases and the wording that violent counter protesters,
which is exactly what it is.
We're not getting that. We're not hearing how, I mean, they are showing up with bear mace, with,
yeah,
they are throwing with,
they're throwing firecrackers.
They're doing, I mean, yeah. it's all of it.
Yeah. People are sitting down.
They are walking up to people and pulling them. I mean, did you, the folks that were in disrupting highways, bridges last week, that were, people were getting out of their cars and dragging folks to the side of the road. Because one, you think that you're entitled, you're able to do that.
Right.
That isn't actually now you doing the violence. That's you doing the assaulting. These people, like, you can be annoyed. Your day might be getting, you know,
sidetracked.
You might be a little late for work now.
That's legal in, is that Florida? Where is it legal?
What, to run people over
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah. And I believe that was made legal like 2 years ago.
Oh, I thought it was more recent, but maybe you're right.
At least, yeah. or they maybe started.
They started,
I'm not trying to do any mis or disinformation.
Right,
here.
Right.
I just remember it being like, oh, they're going.
Their conversation, yeah, definitely started.
They're going hard for this.
Yeah. Shout out to P-Town. Sent some stats over. Oregon is one of 33 states that have cooperative agreements with Israel. In 2022, Oregon exported more than $1.3 billion worth of manufacturing goods to Israel.
Tight. Tight.
$1.3 billion
worth of manufacturing goods.
Yeah.
So it'll be, yeah, what exactly do we mean by that? There's one test.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, they also said, wow, F that media. I meant real media. When they went, for instance, down there.
This text says, can you say that also the protesters are youth whose parents mostly did the same thing? They are the youth. To that point.
Right.
The right. news doing the, it couldn't be the youth. This is, you know, bad faith actors just showing up. Since when have college campuses not been a hotbed for this kind of protest?
Right.
Since when was that questionable? Since when? Because anti-war, anti-capitalist, anti inequality, anti-racist. Like these, mm-hmm. this has all been happening on college campuses. Occupy, that's youth. These are youth movements.
Right.
And it's amazing to, back to what I was trying to get to earlier, it's amazing to me how people can be a part of those things at some point in their life. They can understand just how rigged this is at some point, and then either stop caring or go the other way.
Right.
And say, it actually makes sense.
Right.
I heard enough people talk on a podcast about bootstraps. So actually, I was wrong. If these people just stopped doing X, they wouldn't have to worry about the violence from the police. Just comply, right? When does it go? When does it change? Is it home ownership? What makes you all of a sudden, and I'm saying that because it's like, all of a sudden, we're protecting something you didn't have to protect before.
Aging our own out of the struggle. I love how that you mentioned home ownership, protecting property. You're right. Like, that's what this is about, right? Bob said, the Constitution says we have the right to protest. It says nothing about a right to get across town quickly.
Period. And if we really want to do it, does anybody honestly remember the time in Portland that you could go anywhere and it took 15 minutes? And I do mean anywhere. I mean that airport.
Yo, no,
I mean
talk.
That Gresham. I mean that Beaverton. I mean that Hillsborough. 15 minutes.
Pew, 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 pew. Yeah.
Like, there are things we could talk about. No, I am not calling for an expansion of the freeway.
I am literally just saying,
if you want to talk about things that actually disrupt a day,
yeah,
it's maybe your 47-minute commute each way that makes you angry while you sit there and listen to AM talk radio. Sorry, I'll be quiet.
No, Michelle said you're right. There were a number of anti-protest and pro-murdering protester laws passed at the state level in 2021.
Yes.
Hey, I don't
make
this stuff up.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness. It's terrifying. The white lash was for real. It's swift. It's heavy. It's violent. And folks who understand what that means do not have any, you know, feelings about it in the way of, if you are white, that does, you know.
Yeah.
As you shouldn't, because it is literally just what we have watched historically, presently. There is no reason for us to call it anything other than white lash.
Real talk. Yep.
There's no other reason. How dare those people have the nerve to organize and protest around the world at the same time around some random black man. Because they can't get their heads around the fact that it's about being brutalized by the state. It's about paying for your own occupation. It's about the inability to just live your life without harm by an arm of the state. I mean, like, yo.
Your dollars.
If you've never, ever once in your life been impacted or affected by the criminal justice system, but you see people saying it, hey, this is how I'm being impacted. Why would your immediate response be, well, not me. So it can't be true.
Can't be. Hey, you can be talking about,
hey, you must be doing something wrong. You must be leaving something out. You must actually be a murderer.
Right. We got a text. 60s activists watched that news clip. Scary folks in black. We all know black is scary. They consume the propaganda, whether it's local BS, Fox News, or GD, MSNBC.
Ugh.
They are all filled with Israeli talking points and propaganda.
Yep.
Harper, I still think I can do that, which is why I'm always late. Wait. Oh. I'm not sure what she would respond to in that point. There was something else I saw in here. If you watch mainstream media, you are indoctrinated to the empire. Thank you for that. Thank you so much.
A t-shirt.
Yeah.
Bumper sticker, journal.
Respond with the name you'd like us to refer to you as so we can lock you into our contacts.
Someone said, how's the migraine now? Got a couple votes for mayor going.
How's he driving?
Sorry, y'all. I don't see the names. Ambush sees the names, but where I'm looking at it, I have no idea who anybody is.
We're on two different situations.
That's on me. My bad.
I'm going to hop into a music break. I do want to come back and talk about the Pretendians real quick before we close the show out, and then mention where you guys can watch the district attorney debate later on tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, let's hop into this music break right quick. We're not going to be able to get to all the texts today. Kyle is definitely in the moment,
running the numbers,
adding everything into the description for this episode. So super hype about that. Thank you guys so much. We're not done with the show. I know it sounds like we're done. We're not done with the show. We are going to hop into this Pretendians story right quick. But I did want to mention, again, the debate is tonight. The district attorney debate is tonight. That is put on by KGW and the Oregonian. You can catch that tonight. It's from 6:30 to 7:30. The interesting thing about this debate is they're going to also be presenting questions from citizens that were submitted by video. So there was an opportunity up until, I believe, Tuesday that you had an opportunity to present a video, you know, with some questions for the candidates. So again, yes, Mike Schmidt, Nathan Vasquez are going at it. You can watch this on live on KGW. You can also catch it on their website, their YouTube page,
KGW.com,
the app, KGW on Roku, Fire TV or Apple TV. So yeah, you have a bunch of different opportunities to check that out, and best believe we're going to have some commentary on it.
Ambush, before we get into the Pretendians, and I want you to jump right in, I just want to read this text that says, P.S. If you can't show up for the protests, try showing up for the jail support. This is incredibly important. Everybody has their role in resistance. Not everybody is going to be able to be at every protest or at a protest at all. But there are still ways for you to show up, to show out, that doesn't have anything to do with you being right there. And real quick, real fast, it's way different getting arrested and going to jail today than it was in the 60s.
Right.
And so the support needed is tremendous. This is not just, oh no, we've arrested too many people, our jail is overrun and we got to let them out.
Right.
This is, we're going to bleed you for every freaking dollar we can after we have physically brutalized you in order to make you submit and get off of a college campus.
Thank you so much for that, P-Town. Thank you so much. Okay. Vermont's Abenaki tribes are once again called out as frauds at OVM Symposium. At the University of Vermont, a heated debate unfolded as Canadian sociologist Professor Daryl Leroux once again questioned the authenticity of Vermont's Abenaki tribes. Leroux presented research suggesting that the families claiming Abenaki ancestry in Vermont were in fact of French-Canadian descent.
We're up, bro.
He raised questions about the state's recognition of these groups despite previous reports indicating otherwise. The symposium held at UVM's Levac Ballroom drew a full audience with speakers including Professor David Massel, Gordon Henry, and Pam Palmatter. Palmatter, a member of the Mi'kmaq Nation, and Henry, an enrolled member of the White Earth Anishinaabe Nation, shed light on the broader issue of Pretendians, non-Native individuals falsely claiming Native American identity, and the threat they pose to Indigenous sovereignty and culture. Professor LaRose's presentation focused specifically on Vermont's four Abenaki tribes, which have state recognition but lack federal recognition. I'm going to repeat that again. The state's four Abenaki tribes, which have state recognition but not federal recognition. He emphasized the importance of demonstrating ancestral lineage to secure recognition, noting that the Vermont tribes have failed to do so. Three of the Abenaki chiefs in Vermont have expressed opposition to LaRose's claims, denouncing efforts to rescind the state's recognition of their tribes. Meanwhile, Rick Obamsawin, chief of the Abenakis of Adenak and in Canada, asserted his tribe's ancestral ties to Vermont and its willingness to collaborate to uncover the truth about their history. Obamsawin's delegation recently brought their case to the United States Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, urging for recognition of their territorial rights. As tensions persist, the debate over Indigenous identity and recognition continues to fuel discussions in Vermont and beyond. You know what's like so very like overwhelmingly disgusting about this for me is it's bad enough that history is constantly being retconned and rewritten in a way to erase the damage that colonization has done to this continent and the people that were here before us, the original peoples of this continent. And then in modern day, we are expected to, we've been taught to see them in these romantic historical ways where they, you know, were welcoming to the, to pilgrims, and we had this great Thanksgiving dinner together, and they, you know, the good ones assisted the cowboys in spreading across the West. Like,
they literally called them savages.
Right. And here it is. After all of
that, they massacred their tribes.
After all of that, you have white people who actually know where they're from, who actually can trace their lineage, who have had their lineage traced for them,
charted,
to combat the lies of them trying to now say that they are Native peoples. How much time do you have in your day, Rachel Dolezal, to cook up another identity based on someone else's history just to continue oppression and continue siphoning resources, the very few resources that are set aside for these, for marginalized people?
The very few resources and the very little space that we are all allowed as marginalized people to even take up.
Right.
So for these, you know, folks in academia just jumping in and being like, actually, give me that scholarship. Actually, give me that award. Who don't see the ridiculousness and the actual savagery of recognizing what was done to those peoples and then making your work be about highlighting what has happened to those people while doing more of it to those people.
Bruh.
Now that's savage.
Yeah, right.
There, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's violent, friend. That's some wild stuff. And all while also still doing the, you know, can they manage their own money?
Right.
Should we allow them to do, right? Like, absolutely out of this world. All I want to do is scream right now.
To the top of my lungs.
Yeah, because I just can't really understand how any of this works. I absolutely do not understand. I don't. Where are the Ann Coulters? And I know right now everybody just gasped. What I mean by that is, this is what we are seeing is white, you know, white folks saying, I am an indigenous person to this land. Mm. Ann Coulter says, my family were settlers.
Proudly.
Proudly. That's as indigenous as the white people are going to get here. And that's what my family is.
Right. We're settlers. We're conquerors.
That's where you sit. You don't get to sit in, I was the conqueror that was also conquered. That was also, you don't get to be at all.
Right.
And we're still watching that play out where we have a Donald Trump who is the victor and the victim in every single second of his life, perpetuating that loudly for all those other folks who are victims of the same systems of oppression, but also just get a couple more benefits from it.
Right.
That enough benefit from it that makes them believe that they are in line. They're in line. It is almost their turn to also be a powerful old white man.
Jeez.
Who is not going to change the world for the better or make it easier for their nephews and sons and, you know, to have a shorter wait, I guess, to get to that power. No, no. I'm going to do exactly what those did before me.
And for me, like, some of this stuff, it's not difficult. It's not difficult. We just got to stop entertaining it. Slap them on the hand. Hey, hey, not yours. Stop it. Like, stop. Go sit in timeout. Stop. Go play bingo, shuffleboard, hop on a cruise. You're too big in age to be pretending like this and expecting us, the greater society, to take you seriously. The answer is no. Shut their mic off. Stop. Like, it's ridiculous. It is also, you're listening to X-Ray FM at KRXLY, Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Crystal said, I post bail for protesters.
Talk to them, Crystal. That's it. We all have a part of the resistance. Before Ambush does the whole closeout of the show, everybody has their role.
Right.
Find your role.
That's it.
Are you a person who can organize? Are you a person who is able to knock those doors and get people to sign petitions and get involved? That's your role. Are you a person who can link arms with other people and take some bear mace to the face?
That's your role.
Are you a white person who says, I will put my white body in between this white violence on these other bodies? That's your role.
Boom. Michelle said, settler culture depends on the claim to victimhood to erase the dominance and violence they inflict on other populations.
Michelle always comes in and says, Morgan, let me just get you all the way
right. Let me concise that for you.
Thank you, babes.
Today's show was made possible thanks to Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Our podcast editor, Kyle G, was feverishly working. Thank you so much for all the text messages. Y'all really killed it today. Like, y'all nailed this. Yeah, amazing.
Thank you.
Adding all the songs to the playlist, and you know what it is,
all
man.
All two of them.
Don't let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.